Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Eric Paraxilis, the FDA Chief Information Officer and the Chief Scientist for Informatics. Eric, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thanks for having me.
So you've been CIO now for about 8 months. How's it going? Because obviously this is, I think, your first job in government, correct?
It's actually going very, very well. I'm having a lot of fun, and I really do find the position to be an honor and a privilege.
So give me a sense, how did you come to government? There's always a great backstory sometimes around people who haven't been in government before, then get recruited in by somebody, or they apply for a job just kind of out of the blue. What's your backstory?
Sure. So typically, I'm very non-intentional with all my career moves so far, trained as a scientist and an engineer. I was basically recruited by some scientific folks at FDA that knew after 15 years in industry, I was looking to do something very different, and I considered government or academia. And when the FDA opportunity came up, it was perfect.
And you said you're both a scientist and an engineer. Give me a little bit about your background. What kind of engineer are you? What kind of scientist?
So my undergraduate is in chemical engineering. My master's is in chemical engineering with a focus on advanced biomaterials. And my PhD is in biochemical engineering, but it was really more clinical, artificial pancreas and oral insulin delivery.
So how'd you end up as a CIO? Because that doesn't sound very technical.
Well, yeah, I started off in biotech in the 90s. And because I was doing molecular modeling and things with computers, they thought I was a computer guy and asked me to start doing email. And so about half the time of my career, I've done IT, about half I've done science.
Do you have a desire which one you like better, or FDA kind of brings the best of both worlds?
Yeah, the position that they offer me at FDA does bring both those aspects together, which is fantastic. I've actually enjoyed both, though. The IT side has allowed me to learn a lot about leadership and excellence in management. And the science side, of course, lets me do fun science.
You also have that second hat because you're the chief information officer, but you're also the chief scientist for informatics. How do those two roles fit together?
What I usually tell folks is that to me, IT is about 80% technology and 20% data. Informatics is about 80% data and 20% technology. In this role, I'm really being asked to oversee the development and the utility of both.
So the two obviously come together then because they're the mirror images of each other. So it's your role to kind of bring those things together?
Yeah, it's my role to bring them together. And I think where that needs to come out is in utility and capability, making it useful. You know, you can implement a project in the lab. You can say you have a new LIMS system. But what does that mean? What did that actually bring to the business? It's improving the time to get results. It's automating sample handling. It's doing scheduling. So it's about the what, the how, but what you really get out of it. And sometimes just getting the technology in doesn't mean that you've made the type of changes or enabled the new capability that your business needed.
Let's focus for a little bit on the CIO role for a second, because I think that is obviously the focus of the show, but also because I think that plays an important role throughout government. Let's talk about the CIO's role. How do you support the FDA's big broad mission?
The CIO role is fantastic, and it's very broad, actually. When you think about an agency like FDA that actually regulates some, depending on estimates, 20 to 22 cents on the dollar for all money spent in this country for that part of the economy, it's actually significant, everything from foods to drugs to medical devices. So for someone like me, it's such an amazingly diverse mission because each center does something very different. It's very different to get a device approved than a drug. It's very different to keep the food supply safe than it is to approve a new drug. And be able to oversee the technology that's enabling all of that, it's wonderfully diverse. And I'm very ADHD by nature. So I like the fact that as I move meeting to meeting, that you're doing very different things. Some things are very much your typical efficiency plays, operational excellence, inventory management, document management, compliance. But then you're also doing very high innovation things, different ways to submit devices to enable getting these things to patients quicker, for example.
Do you have a preference of what, do you like the day-to-day, the operation stuff, or are you more of a strategic guy? I would kind of probably guess you're more of a strategic guy, but that's a guess.
Yeah, I'm a bit more of a strategic guy, but I do enjoy the operational part, especially because one of my favorite things to do is mentor people and build leaders. And I think you get to do more of that on that side.
Do you find yourself that you've only been here 8 months, so it's a short amount of time. Are you spending more time on the operation side, and then do you hope to move to the strategic side, or are you still about 50-50?
No, I'm still very much on the CIO side. No one wants to hear about cool science when their BlackBerries don't work. And so, you know, it's kind of getting the train to run on times and fix the transactional parts of the agency that then enable greater science. And quite frankly, my customers are right about that. I would never push into that area. So right now I would say it's 90-10. Percent CIO versus, although over the next 6 months, which is my second 6 months, I hope that starts to equilibrate out a little bit more.
And then how does that informatics role play into this? Are you having to carve out a piece of your day, a piece of your week to work on that? Or because they're so interrelated, that happens kind of automatically?
It happens somewhat automatically, but there's also a carve out involved. I mean, I get sought out very much within the agency, especially for things that go across the agency that are very strategic. They'll come to us and the informatics capabilities I'm building versus a lot of the centers, which have fantastic informatics within, but they're very focused on the center mission. So for the things that have to be transverse, like enabling all the change that's in the global pathway to product safety and quality brochure, for example, what does the agency look like 10 years from now? A lot of those advanced analytics are things that are very much on my plate.
And I imagine that if, even as you said, one of the centers has some great informatics, they're not understanding what maybe other centers are doing, and you're the one, the kind of person that can bring everything together. If there's, hey, person over here X is doing something and person Y is doing something, you guys should really get together. Is that where you kind of come in a little bit?
Absolutely. I actually think the groups have self-organized fairly well, but at the same time, yes, I do get to convene them and I do get to mentor them and sometimes even push them a little bit to say, well, you know, what guy over here has is really cool. Why don't we use that and you do something new?
And instead of building it again, and that's tweaked just a little bit. It's a whole, you know, shared services, build once, use many.
I think resources are very precious, and I prefer to use them to solve new problems, yeah, when you can.
Well, let's talk a little bit about those resources. Tell me about the makeup of your office. How many federal employees do you have? How many contractors? And what was the FDA's IT budget for 2012?
So I roughly have about 470 federal employees and about 500 contractors, and I think our budget for 2012 came in at right around $450 million. So, you know, to be quite frank, I think the resources are ample for a lot of what we need to do.
I think you're probably one of the few CIOs that actually has their ratio of contractors to feds at 1-to-1, or as close as you can get to it. Did that surprise you when you walked in and saw kind of your ratio, or have you kind of pulled that ratio closer?
I think the folks before me had a really good vision on this, and they've tried to pull that ratio closer, as am I even now. I really do think our partners are essential, and you know, we could do very little without their help. At the same time, I really think that the knowledge and the expertise, the architecture and the design need to be within the feds.
And do a lot of your federal employees focus on specific projects, meaning, or their project managers and program managers?
I think the traditional mix is that more of them are on the management side, be it project management or technology management, although a lot of them are domain experts in the technologies or in the business.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into some of your new priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Eric Paraxilis, the FDA Chief Information Officer and Chief Scientist for Informatics.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dort to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Eric Paraxilis, the FDA Chief Information Officer and Chief Scientist for Informatics. Now, Eric, before break, we talked a lot about your role as CIO at FDA, the makeup of your office, even kind of how you kind of got pulled into government a little bit, and in a good way pulled in. Let's talk about your priorities. What do you hope to get done at the FDA over the next 6 to 12 months?
It's actually a very long list, to be frank about it. I think, first of all, there was our infrastructure modernization, which has gone very well, which I continue to shepherd through its positive conclusion. Then we also have some very large projects. One of the things I've done is very quickly get into kind of a start, stop, continue, modify mode, basically starting with the highest dollar value, highest impact projects and reviewing them one-on-one to see what can we accelerate, what might need to take a different course, et cetera, to access. So we have a very large project called MARCS in our Office of Regulatory Affairs. That's a large focus of mine right now, as well as some of the other large ticket projects in the agency. The other thing that will happen is, as I move into my second 6 months, you know, I've transitioning out of sponge mode. You know, I've spent my whole life as a researcher, and now I'm really learning all of the amazing things FDA does. And, you know, it's pretty daunting, and it's still a lot to go. I have a lot of my friends and mentors that have been there 20 years tell me they'll still learn every day. So, you know, coming out of the first 6 months into my second 6 months, it's really about making some decisions, optimizing the portfolio towards capabilities. And what I mean by that is, as a scientist, I don't get that excited to talk about IT or IT projects. What I want to know is, what will the business be able to do that it couldn't do before? We have better food security. We have more automated labs. We're paperless in the office. We can review drug submissions much faster. Those are the outcomes that I really want to talk about. So when I look at the portfolio, if I don't see outcomes like that, and instead I see a list of projects, I know it's time for me to dive in and try to figure it out. The other thing in the second 6 months is it really is about the people. I've got to tell you, I inherited a fantastic team, very excited. I view us more as a team than something that I'm leading a lot of the times, mentors and colleagues across the board. But in that second 6 months, you really have to firm up that team, kind of make sure people are in the right roles long term, make sure that, that you've decided to leverage how you're going to have your leadership team, what role am I going to play in the team, what other roles do I need in the team, et cetera. The good news at FDA is there actually isn't going to be a lot of change. I think we need to do a few key additions, and we're recruiting for those right now, and then we'll be able to move ahead. The other thing that I really do is constantly assess. So one of the things that's been great is the FDA's new management board has been giving me a lot of time. They saw me in March. They'll look at me again in June and kind of get that 90-day feedback. The things I'm doing make sense for them and that they're seeing the progress that they need to see. Because I think, it's real easy to fool yourself. You do a few cool things and you think you do a great stuff, but it's a big agency and there's a lot of demand.
Let me go back up and start with the first project you mentioned, the infrastructure modernization. Give me a sense of where it's at. And just as a little bit of a background in case if people aren't quite as familiar with it, what was the goal from the start?
I think the infrastructure modernization pieces are very typical to IT people and not so much to the customers. They really start off with things like consolidating the number of servers that you have, consolidating the number of server rooms you have. If you have three server rooms, are you running three shifts round the clock monitoring that as opposed to moving one shift to 24/7 and saving a lot of money that can be reinvested in other technology? So a lot of those pieces had gone on, and what they had done before I got there, and they did very well, was to get rid of what I think of as the link between a physical server and a single application. And what you then do is if you can have multiple applications on a server, we call that virtualizing the environment. You're going from a one-in-one ratio to one server to many, many applications. What that does is it lowers cost, it improves your ability to tune and manage the systems, and it gives more variety of environments for customers. So there's been a lot of that going on. I think what you'll see now as kind of the next steps of that was to finish the data center and the technology consolidations, move more fully to both internal and external cloud, get to the next step of connectivity. Like a lot of government, I always view physical networks, government, and not like the Golden Gate Bridge. By the time you're done painting it, now you got to go back and paint the other side of it. So I think by going to Internet 2 and some things like that, using the internet as your wide area network, you can actually get speed to value and not be stuck always upgrading something that's okay to good, never getting good to great. So you'll see me doing a lot of virtualization and partnering of physical infrastructure. I think that you can do that, and I do think that's the way to do it. I'd rather focus more of our resources on applications and projects that truly drive the FDA-specific mission than upgrading to the next cool network.
The modernization, the virtualization, are you guys 80% virtualized, 90% virtualized? How close are you to whatever goal you have?
I think we're up over 60% and higher. I think that can be a little misleading, though, only because a lot of the applications we're running were never built to be in those virtual environments, so you don't quite get the bang for the buck there. So I think, as we move the application stack to be engineered so it can be virtualized, that is more the slow step than getting the environments ready.
And then you also mentioned the favorite word of the hot buzzword of the day, cloud computing, both internal and external. Give me a sense of where you guys are going with that.
I actually push very hard to the cloud. So in 2007, when I was a CIO at Johnson & Johnson, I actually started moving Johnson & Johnson's internal clinical trials to public cloud through Amazon EC2. So that was years ago, and it was a 15-fold cost savings, and it was better performance than we've ever seen. And so I'm really pressing ahead with a lot of support from my information security folks, from the CIO of HHS, Frank Bateman, who also has a strong agenda, and other people in HHS. I will move as much stuff as I can to external cloud as quickly as I know it's safe to do so.
Give me a sense of what's first. Is it email? Is it storage? Is it what?
So email is something we're definitely looking at. Quite frankly, we've actually moved some of the more innovative projects out there first. So one of our best successes so far was what we call the CDRH Innovation 2.0. It was basically a different pathway or method that the heads of our Center for medical devices and radiological health device, to be almost a new way to think about submitting medical devices. And it uses crowdsourcing. It uses Salesforce.com for people to have conferences. It uses a challenge type mechanism. In this case, what they did was they put out a challenge for devices that could be useful in end-stage renal disease, a very large unmet medical need. And they, in a period of 6 weeks, we did three IT projects, and they looked at more than 30 applications and picked three or five that they're actually now pursuing for aggressive review. So, you know, those types of things are out on a cloud right now. So we're trying to move the new and innovative as well as the infrastructure. And I think somewhere between those two, you get what you want.
You piqued my interest a little bit about the projects. Give me a little bit more about that end stage renal disease, the 6 weeks, three projects. Sure. Was it a matter of just test and development? Was it kind of an app challenge? What were you guys really looking to do there?
It was actually... You know, it was fantastic to see FDA taking this on. It really was both sociology and technology. Right now, getting a medical device or a drug device, it can be onerous for a small or young innovator. You know, and sometimes, quite frankly, they've got some of the best bright ideas. It's not some of the big companies that have a lot of infrastructure. It's the two guys and a dog in a garage with a great idea. I grew up in biotech, and this is what I'm used to. And so what we did was actually came up with an idea of putting out, well, what does healthcare need? What are some of the unmet medical needs? Because obviously that's where we should be focusing. In this case, it was end-stage renal failure. And we really encourage innovators, large and small, to bring us their ideas, not in the form of a full-blown FDA submission, but in a much lighter, almost a challenge brief that was done that gave them a lighter way to just get us a summary. Just get us your ideas in a small, digestible form, something you can write up in a few days. And we could very quickly evaluate them, pick the ones that look promising to us, and then go back to these people. Oh, so, okay, we want to learn more. We want to help get this reviewed. But here are some technologies and some new tools and some new processes that we want you to try in getting your idea to us. So it was really a great reach out from the innovation in the agency to the innovator community.
And that was all done via the cloud, where people submitted through the cloud, you reviewed on the cloud, gave feedback. There were some even meetings, I'm sure, yeah. Kind of the web forums or chats or whatever you guys called it.
Most of the technology components were hosted in the cloud, yes. The social engineering, the social networking parts, which were also, that's an open source system from Harvard Profiles, which for folks that have read or Googled it in my literature, I'm somewhat of a large open source advocate. I think it comes from being a cancer survivor. I'm always trying to give healthcare away when I can, just to be thankful for my own situation. And so we really are pushing as much as possible to the cloud, but also good commercial offerings like Salesforce.com that also was on the cloud, et cetera. So the cloud is just a great, quick access, open way to get ideas and data moving back and forth without having to give everybody accounts and everybody government IDs, you know, saving a lot of that back and forth.
Where do you see some other opportunities for the cloud and maybe in the next, you know, 6 or 12 months?
We're really doing a large push. And what I'm trying to do is mix innovation and efficiency. So innovation, like this device pathway, innovation, like our non-clinical information management system that's coming up, you know, taking a few, if you just pick easy things, you never get through it. Being a scientist experiment, it's like run the hard experiment first, because people know you can do the easy ones. And so if we only pick the easy apps, you could still have a 5-year pathway to a cloud. But in 1 year, if you move some of your hardest stuff to the cloud, well, then all the easy stuff flows like water. So email is definitely up. We'd love to get FDA email on the cloud this year, and other federal agencies have successfully done that. So we're not first, so we should be able to do it fast. And then, like I said, some of the innovative projects on the clinical sides, and then really just programs that are technically enabled. For folks that don't know much about cloud, it's actually not great for everything. If you're moving a lot of data back and forth, very high transaction, like your tax system or your, in our case, like an inventory management system where you're moving a lot of samples around, those things are still better suited client, server, and web. When you have a lot of data you want to share with a lot of people, or people need to go into a workspace and work with very high compute power, then cloud can be great for that. So it doesn't really fix everything. So there is a technology bias to which things should go.
All right, well, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about some of your priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Eric Paraxilis, the FDA Chief Information Officer and Chief Scientist for Informatics.
So, guess what I just heard?
You mean about the Roth TSP?
Okay, yeah. Well, also,
that bid protest on the DoD contract.
Right. But did you know
who the Senate confirmed for the administrator's job?
Well, what about
OMB's digital strategy?
Jeez. How do you know everything that's going on in the federal government?
I know, because I signed up for Federal News Radio's email alerts.
Be in the know and know it first with Federal News Radio's email alerts. Sign up today at federalnewsradio.com. Search email alerts.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Eric Paraxilis, the FDA Chief Information Officer and Chief Scientist for Informatics. Before break, we're talking a lot about your priorities. One of them that I definitely wanted to touch upon was the MARCS project in the Office of Regulatory Affairs. And it's part of an umbrella initiative, what you call very large projects, where you'll do start, stop, continue, modify mode. So let's start with MARCS. What is it and where you're at with it, and then maybe how that fits into that new kind of approach to large projects?
Sure. So the Office of Regulatory Affairs is really the inspectorate and the enforcement parts of FDA. And MARCS program is really about modernizing all aspects of what that group does. It's field staff modernization from the standpoint of the technology they use, going mobile. We've been using green books to do inspections for about 100 years, and a lot of folks would like to see those green books go away. And last year, we had a very successful egg pilot. We called it the egg pad, where they brought a device onto to an egg farm and were able to save a tremendous amount of time and energy by conducting the inspection electronically. And then when the inspector got back to the office, most of the report had been pre-populated. Now, we used an egg pad because, you know, the thing ends up covered in feathers and whatnot, and you have to rinse it off at the end of the day. So an iPad's probably not durable enough for that. So that's a piece of it. Also, you know, if you think that we've been doing drug inspections for 50 years, the world is changing very fast. As I mentioned before, there's a great publication called The Global Pathway to Product Safety and Quality that the FDA put out. It talks about how the larger percent of our food is coming from overseas, the larger percentage of our drugs and drug ingredients are coming from overseas. What are we inspecting and how? You know, there's 300 ports of entry in the country, and you've got a handful of people at each of them looking at thousands and thousands of shipments. If data can help them pick the right thing to look at to find the spoiled food, the bad actors, whatever it is, that's what you want. You want to up your hit rate. One of the IT projects that was an early deliverable of MARCS was a system called Predict, which has actually done just that. In the last few months since it's been out, if something has a higher Predict score, we're seeing already a strong correlation that there'll be a violation involved with that inspection, and that's what you want. You want to find the bad stuff, not all the good stuff. So it's everything from workflow management, laboratory automation and management with LIMS systems, document management, going paperless with a lot of the paper that we generate. One of our facilities in ORA, their dock room was so large, they had to come reinforce the floor. When I was walking around there, I thought the entire building was listing towards their document room. So getting all of that electronically and allowing them to find things more quickly and more readily and access them, getting rid of the burden and the time of the paper, I think is a big deal. And quite frankly, all of this comes down to having good records and having evidence, and we want that data to be immediately available. So MARCS is about a dozen initiatives under one large umbrella. And so what we've really done with some of them we've, you know, accelerated, some of them we've restructured, some of them we're putting on hold for the time being, really to get speed to value. I'd like to see something come out of MARCS every 6 months. And, you know, MARCS has been actually going on since the early 2000s and wasn't scheduled to end to almost 2019. I'm way too ADHD for that. So I want to see a lot of this stuff done in the next 3 years.
How big of a change is that for FDA to say, I want something done every 6 months? And how much pushback did you get from stopping projects? I mean, if you look at, for instance, at the Veterans Affairs Department, Roger Baker, the CIO there, got a lot of both good publicity and maybe some bad for stopping some of the VA's projects. And, you know, he'll tell you these projects weren't working and they had to be changed because they were wasting money. Yeah. Did you get a very similar response from your management?
I think that it's very difficult. You know, everybody believes in strategy and in prioritization, except for when it's their project that got deprioritized, which I think is very natural and completely human. I think the important way to do that, though, is one, yes, sometimes it is just a necessity, but how you do it really matters. You know, do you already have these folks moved on something new? Have you given them something more important to work on? Have you prioritized other efforts so that energy can flow into that? So I think when the answer comes back, stop, you already have to have your plan B as your new plan A before you do the communication. Because, you know, even if their project wasn't working, these people were still trying really hard to make it work. So you really try to make sure the folks get taken care of in the mix, but also that the taxpayers are getting what they need for the money.
Roughly how many projects did you end up stopping, and can you give me a sense of maybe one or two of them?
Right now, we haven't formally stopped any. We're in the process of slowing two, and the odds are that they won't necessarily be completely stopped, but they'll be more reformed. What do I mean by that? Maybe it's a technology switch. So maybe before they were doing something that was very kind of monolithic and I want to see it on a distributed architecture so it can go to a cloud. Maybe there's open source ways to do things. Maybe in some cases, quite frankly, the solution wasn't necessarily going to fit into the rest of the architecture. One of the parallels I draw in this case is if you try to build a building, what people usually do is they get money, they hire an architect, they get some blueprints, and they put the blueprints out to bid. What most big companies do, and I count the government as like a big company sometimes, is that they actually take the requirements and put those out to bid. So they have no influence on the design. I think that's a really big mistake when you can avoid it. We need to own the design. We want this house. We want it on a corner lot. We need this many bedrooms. We need this many bathrooms. Now you build us a good house. Don't come tell us what kind of house we need. And I think that's where working with partners, I'm trying to move the things forward. So usually it was, if there's a stop on the horizon, it's because the what and the how both needed to be addressed. A lot of times the what was right and all we have to do is tweak the how design-wise to get it to where we need it.
Are you setting up any kind of new project program management office within your office to handle this? Because if you want deliverables every 6 months, you have to have some kind of review process, some kind of governance structure, some kind of way to say, okay, whose 6 month turn is it? Yeah. And then after, you know, 2 or 3 months, are they going down that path or do you need to pull them back? How are you kind of dealing with the governance?
Sure. So, you know, one of the things that had happened before I came in was there was some work, strategy work that was done that basically described that a project management office was needed. So I read it, I agree with it. And so we've implemented. So that's in the process of finishing off that reorg now. But also, you know, there was a lot of governance at FDA, but to be frank, there wasn't a lot of governing going on relative to the IT portfolio. And so what we're now doing, working with the FDA management boards, is we're actually have a proposal to rework and, quite frankly, streamline governance. We did a presentation back in March, and what was great was basically the FDA management board agreed to be the highest level IT governance board for the agency. In the past, that had been decided, but it had never really been enacted. And these folks are really showing up and helping us figure out what the right things to do. That's great when you get that. And so if you can get the innovation bubbling up from the bottom and you can get good oversight coming down from the top, you can have a nice mix of efficiency and innovation in your portfolio, which means you're doing the things you should be doing. And also streamlining governance. Once you get the what and the how right, get agile and get it done and get out of the way. Let people succeed.
And of course, is the same management board that probably does maybe some of those tech stat sessions and some of the portfolio stat sessions that are starting to kind of come about?
Really, the project management board and my group really runs the tech and portfolio stats, but we do bubble the results up to those boards. So for example, we did it with Marks to make the suggestions. And so we came up with recommendations we then brought up to those boards. They're not really overseeing the process as much as they're the customers of it.
All right, on that note, I think we could talk a lot longer, but unfortunately we are out of time. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Eric Paraxilis, the FDA Chief Information Officer and Chief Scientist for Informatics. Eric, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thanks so much for having me.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.